God's word, you'll find it in the book of Exodus. Exodus, the 12th chapter. This is the great old salvation chapter of the Old Testament. Exodus, the 12th chapter. We read the first 28 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to themselves every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and it shall be kept up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Pardon me. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat none of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at eve, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at eve. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. And all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And God will bless this wonderful portion of his word to our hearts. Now let us bow and pray. Now in this wonderful 12th chapter, in the second verse, you have these words. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Here we have a nation of slaves, a people in bondage. Many of them had never known anything else from their childhood. The cruel hand of Pharaoh had been upon them. And this bondage is very like the bondage of sin. And the Lord spake. I like that. It wasn't Aaron or Moses that spake. It was the Lord spake. And you know, God still speaks. And I trust that God will speak here tonight. Because here is an opportunity for you, sinner, to throw off the bondage of sin and to walk out of this church in perfect liberty and freedom, set free by the power of God. God's power is ever revealed in his word. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, the great creative week, we find, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, let the dry land appear. And the dry land appeared. And God said, let all the vegetable world come into being. And all animals. And it happened. At his mighty creative word. And here God speaks in a situation which was, humanly speaking, impossible. There was no possibility, humanly speaking, let me emphasize, of these people throwing off the bondage of Egypt. No possibility. It was humanly impossible. These people had neither sword nor spear. They had been cruelly treated for years. And God speaks. My, how merciful God is. The report says, I heard a voice. It said, come, follow me. I saw no form, but someone spoke to me. And oh, my burden, it just rolled away. My heart was changed. My night was turned to day. Some of you have had that experience, haven't you? And God spake in the midst of their sorrow and grief, and he told them what to do. He didn't tell them to transform their lives. He didn't tell them to turn over a new leaf. But he told them what to do. He told them to take a lamb without blemish, without fault, without disease, and to kill it, and to sprinkle the blood on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of their houses wherein they dwelt. And that would be deliverance for them. You know, I'm sure there were many who smiled when they heard that. And I'm sure the Egyptians, when they heard such a fairy tale, as they would likely call it, I'm sure they laughed it to scorn. And you know, there's people who laugh it to scorn today. When you talk about getting to heaven through the blood of Christ, indeed many of our denominations now have changed their hymn books and have cut out all those grand old hymns concerning the blood. And in the Presbyterian Church, away back in 1927, at the heresy trial, they termed it the gospel of gore and made sport out of it. And I'm sure they did the same here in Egypt. Imagine taking a lamb and sprinkling the blood, and that will save you from the forces of Pharaoh, from all his might, from the cruelty of his taskmasters. Why, the thing's fantastic. It just couldn't happen. But God spake. And this was God's plan. If you go to the Corinthian epistle, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and the first chapter, if you like to turn it over, if you don't bother, just listen to the reading. And here's what God says. That's 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. You see, it has always been the same. I was thinking about hitting the devil in this. It's always been the same. Man has mocked God's plans. Evil men have spurned God's simple way of salvation. And so here's Paul. In Paul's day they did the same. Now, in the 18th verse of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians we read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God." This is the mighty power of God, the blood of Christ. Listen, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Oh yes, it sounds foolish, doesn't it? Just kill a lamb. Just preach the gospel. Just say to sinner, if you come to Christ with your burden, if you come to this one who died on the cross and believe that his blood was shed for you, if you come and confess your need, God will save you and transform your life and make you a new creature and send you out to live in newness of life. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This was God's remedy. And this is still God's remedy. And if you're ever going to get to heaven, sinner, you must accept God's remedy. No other way. Rome teaches all sorts of things that you have to do. Pray to Mary. Pray to the saints. Go around all the hopeless of this evil system. And you'll get to heaven. But God says you'll not. "For there is no other way. And there is no other name under heaven but Christ, whereby you must be saved." Whereby you must. And the imperative must is there. You must be saved. And if you're going to be saved, you must come to Christ. And this was the beginning of a new life for them. Not just signing a decision card or making a decision. I'm not despising that, mind you. But when you come to Christ, you enter into a new life completely. We were singing that old hymn, "Heaven above in softer blue, earth around in sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs overflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his, and nobody can argue me out of it. And he has kept me for 51 years. That's how long I'm saved. Of course, I was very, very young when I was saved. Friends, there's no one can argue me out of that. I remember pointing my youngest brother to the Lord, Brother Charlie, just the Christmas before I was married. And I prayed that God would raise up another witness in our home. And Charlie was just finished as a teacher. And we sat talking one Christmas night, right into Boxing Day morning. You would hardly think two boys could have talked that long. Like a couple of lassies would have done that. But however, we managed to do it anyway. And then I went to bed, about 2. And Charlie came up, we slept in the same room, and he came up and he jumped into his bed. And then he shouts over to me, he says, "John, I was reading a poem there after you left me about God being everywhere, the omnipresence of God. And God is everywhere. And God's here tonight. And he's here to save you. And he's here to apply the blood of Christ to your soul. And he's here to give you a new life." So he says, I was reading, and he says, "You know, John, I think I'm saved in spite of myself. I don't need to do anything." I said, "Look, Charlie, you'll have to come and accept his mercy." And I said, "If you get out of bed," when he's giving his testimony, all he says is that John ordered him out of bed the night he was saved. And so I did. I said, "If you get out of bed, I'll come out and I'll kneel with you and you ask God now to accept you." That was in 1940. And we knelt there. And as I put my hand on Charlie's shoulder, I was overcome with emotion. I wept. I'm not ashamed to say it. And God drew graciously near. And Charlie passed from death unto life. Just like that. And let me continue the story for a moment or two. It's interesting. 5 years afterwards, Charlie resigned from teaching and went to Africa as a missionary. He was out in Etinan in charge of the institute out there. And he pointed many blacks to the Lord. And one day he was out in the bush. And he met an old fellow who was saved from heathenism. Imagine. Dark heathen Africans saved and going to heaven. And people in enlightened Ulster going to hell. It's unbelievable. So Charlie said to this old fellow, "Well," he says, "Sambo, how's things with you?" You know what he said? "Ah, massa, the trees of the forest seem to be clapping their hands." Now he didn't know that was the 55th chapter of Isaiah. He had only a few chapters in the New Testament translated. But he had the same experience. And when he came to Christ as a poor, dark heathen, God transformed his life. And like our text, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year." And he passed from death unto life, that old man. And he says, "Master, the very trees of the forest seem to be clapping their hands." Wasn't that wonderful? That's God's remedy. And you'll not get to heaven, and you'll not know that mighty transformation of grace, or transforming power of grace, until you come and accept God's method. And that is simply bowing at the cross and saying, "O Lamb of God." Until you come and accept God's method. And that is simply bowing at the cross and saying, "O Lamb of God, thy blood was shed for me. Shelter me under it now." A new life. You know, we always like something new, don't we? It appeals to us. Fashion. My brother White was mentioning it one Sunday morning, and I was rather amused. Changing of fashion. Sometimes you see the lassies with the hat on the end of their nose, and then it's in the back of their head, and then it's one ear and then the other. The other day, as a matter of fact, I was walking down, and I saw, well, I imagine it possibly was a girl. I don't know the way she was dressed, but I saw her waltzing along. She had a big flowing skirt, and then she had something on her legs that reminded me of these yellow drain pipes in the fields, you know, all wrinkles. And I couldn't understand. I didn't know what on earth it was like. But now, if that was a man or woman, I couldn't tell you. But there it was. You see, that's fashion. And the fashions of this world pass away. Now, I'm not criticizing you. I like to be well dressed if I can manage it, if I can afford it. But fashion appeals to us. Something new appeals to us. But here's something new. It doesn't last just while the fashion kings want it before the change. They like to change for the sake of getting in the money. But here's something new that never grows old. And the man who's this life never grows old. Oh, I might look old, but I'm not growing old. Yes. In the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul says, the Athenians, to whom he was preaching, it says, the Athenians spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. That's how they spent their time. And when they would meet in the marketplace, did you hear about so-and-so? Or did they hear that happened the other day? And they're always telling what happened and exchanging new things that came around. And you know, I venture to say that there's not a person here tonight, either young or old, but hasn't at some time or other said, oh, I would like a change of life. I would like to live a nobler life. Have you ever said that? I would like to be lifted onto a higher plane. Something better than I have at the moment. Isn't that right? I remember reading of the Pope. Now, it wasn't the Pope of Rome. It was the Pope. And he was sitting in his room one day. Of course, this is a good while ago now, since he lived. And he said out loud, Oh God, make me a better man. Did you ever say that? And his old servant happened to be passing the door at the time. And he slipped in and he put his hand on his master's shoulder and he said, Master, God can make you a new man. We're not lovely. Not a better man. Not turning over a new leaf. Not a new resolution. But a new man and a new life. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The beginning of a new life. The first month in the year. You know, the Passover was to begin for Israel a new year. Indeed, from that very date, the nation of Israel came into existence. God made them a new nation. God made them new men and new women. Before that, they knew nothing else but slavery. Tell me, sinner tonight, is there some sin that binds you? Have you sometimes breathed in your despair, oh, that I could get rid of this? Well, you'll never get rid of it by simply trying. You'll only get rid of it by coming and casting your burden upon the Lord and experience His sustaining grace, whatever that sin is, because we're all sinners. And you'll never reach heaven until God saves you and lifts you from the old sinful life and puts you on the narrow road that leads to glory. This month, this 27th day of November 1983, my dear brother and my dear friend, can be the beginning of a new life for you, if you but come. The Lord spake, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. Their calendar was changed from that very time. You see, their year started in September, mid-September. And now it was mid-spring.
And you see the mighty act of God here. In mid-September, you're looking into the winter, and death is appearing on the leaves of the trees, and you're heading towards the darkness and gloom of winter. But God says, this month, now you're in the middle of March, and you'll be looking forward to a life of endless spring. Now, wonderful. And let me tell you, sinner, and you've been told this many times, that if you don't know that change, you'll go on to the gloom of endless night. I like to read the Songs of Solomon. I like to read the Bible, of course, but there are some portions of it that appeals to you. And I want to read to you from the Book of Solomon, Songs of Solomon, the Canticles, as they're called, the second chapter, and verse 10. My beloved, listen to this now. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past and gone. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the bird is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green leaves, and the vine her tender grapes. Rise up, my love! My, here's God, offering life! Isn't that wonderful? And right through the Bible, I haven't time to go through all the Bible tonight, but you find verses like this. I heard of an old man, and he got up to preach, an old parson, and he said, I'm going through all the books of the Bible this morning. Well, that was a task, I can tell you. And so he went through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and through the Pentateuch. Now he says, we'll put the Pentateuch here. And then he went to Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and so on, and he put them there. And he went through the Psalms, and then he came to the prophets, and he says, now, where will I put Isaiah? And there's an old fella in the meeting, and he was really bored and stiff. He says, see, sir, you can give him my place, for I'm going home. So I'm not going to go through all the Bible, but it's very wonderful. And here you find it in Exodus. This month shall be to you the beginning of months, the first month of the year to you. And the very trees of the field will clap their hands. That's what it says in Isaiah. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the briar, the old sinful, twisted nature, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the thorn, rather, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree, the sweet incense of a purified life. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. My, here is life for your friend. What a prospect. Bondage is gone. Darkness has disappeared. Salvation has come. And slavery has ended. Wouldn't you like a life like that? Friend, after preaching for nearly 50 years, and after seeing men and women, and boys and girls, from different callings and walks of life saved, God has proved to me the efficacy of the gospel. And I can come to you tonight with absolute assurance and say, sinner, no matter what your problem is, no matter how deep-dyed you are, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I can say with confidence in God tonight that if you take a step forward and say, Christ for me, give me this life, then you'll have it. That great old text, I quoted it this morning, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I knew an old preacher when I was a young fellow, and when he quoted that, he used to say, friends, that's your receipt when you come. That's your receipt. And he used to say, he was a County Down man and talked with County Down twang. He said, well, that's your receipt. If you come, I'll not cast you out. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Springtime of life beginning. And a springtime of eternal life beginning. Life that shall never end. While God was preparing the destruction of the forces of Pharaoh, he was preparing the salvation of his people. You know, it's very interesting. If you go back to Exodus chapter 10, you read these words. When the darkness fell. Now you see the change here. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 23, they saw not one another. Here's the darkness that falls on a sinful world. They saw not one another. The sun of life had stopped shining. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And friends, the darkness is coming in this world, I want to tell you. We see signs of things being wound up today. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but anyone who listens to the news or reads their paper can see that things are happening, and happening very fast. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, and when you see the stress of nations, Jesus said, look up, the time of your redemption draweth nigh, and the darkness is coming in this sinful world. And they had no candle, they had no light in their houses, and they were afraid to rise to greet one another. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The old hymn writer says, there's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see, since Jesus came into my heart. When my mother was 92, she was living with me in the mansion called Rain here. And I remember reading to her the 32nd Psalm one day. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And when it came to the last verse, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. My dear old mother started to sing. She was a great old singer. That's why I'm such a wonderful singer. And she started to sing an old hymn. I'm sure some of you know it. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, all ye that are upright in heart, and ye who have made him your choice, bid sadness and sorrow depart. And the chorus says, rejoice, rejoice, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Just sang that right through. At the age of 92, I hope you'll come and listen to me singing when I'm 92. Maybe George will invite me here to sing to you when I'm 92. But friends, you see, there was a dear old lady coming to the end of her journey. She died a few months afterwards. And she was able to rejoice in the Lord. And while the world realized that the darkness and dread of God's judgment was upon them, and their light was gone forever, even their own artificial lights were all out, the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And in the 11th chapter of Exodus, we read these. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Isn't that wonderful? My, what protection! Even the dogs don't bite them. That's a great life, isn't it? That's the life that Christ offers you. A new life. Now, just briefly. That all came about by the slaying of a lamb. It foreshadows the death of Christ. And when John saw Jesus on the banks of the Jordan, he turned to his congregation, to that concourse of people, and he said to them, behold the Lamb of God. You see, this was prefiguring the coming of Christ and his death on the cross. And so we find that the Lamb was slain. The shed blood provided a means of security and peace. And friends, it has been secured for you. The shed blood secured the children of Israel from the enemy. The blood of Christ secures us for eternity from all the forces of evil and from sin's dominion. That provision has been made. But the children of Israel had to do something. It wasn't sufficient for them to say, well, the lamb has been killed and we filled the basin with blood. That was the provision made by God's command. Jesus died on the cross, and there was opened in the house of David a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Provision has been made. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lamb has been slain. Redemption is finished. The price has been paid. Provision made. But the application of the blood brings that peace and security. And you can look at the cross, and you can sing the old hymns of Zion, and you can listen to the preacher all your life and not apply the blood. Trample underfoot that precious blood. My friend, it says that the children of Israel, and I like this in that 28th verse, it said, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded. And all God asks you to do, my dear friend, tonight, is to come. Come as you are, an unworthy sinner. Come and in simple faith, plunge beneath that blood that has been shed on the cross, and you shall go out with joy. A life transformed. A new vista opened up for you. Life that shall never end. Will you come? Will you take him? For all things are now ready. There's nothing left to be done. For once in the end of the age, Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And to those that wait for him, shall he come again and receive you into glory. The children of Israel did what God commanded. They took the blood and they sprinkled it on the two side posts and on the lintel. And they were safe. And when the darkness fell, they had light in their dwellings. And when the darkness falls, my dear friend, as it certainly will, when the sun shall be turned into blood, when the stars shall fall from heaven, and when men will cry for mercy and will not be heard, but the man who has the blood applied to his heart will be safe forevermore. Will you come? Of grace.